always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
The battle over abortion rights is again heating up on Capitol Hill. Democrats are marking 2 years since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, resulting in abortion bans in 14 states. Since then, the White House has been coordinating with lawmakers who are trying to expand and protect abortion access. On Tuesday, the Senate Health Committee held a special hearing to examine the financial and psychological burdens of women living in states where those bans are in effect. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer going a step further and introducing the Right to Contraception Act and hinting more legislation could be coming as the 2024 election ramps up.
Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Sharp Show. We're going to discuss that very issue. It's going to be part and parcel of election 2024 because the Democrats pretty much have nothing else to run on. Let's talk to our next guest about that and lots more. His name is Samuel D. Green. Samuel Green, he's the president and general counsel at Reason for Life. You can find them at reasonforlife.org. And Samuel is on Twitter X at ProLife. Samuel, good afternoon. Thanks for joining Chris and I today.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me on the show.
So, Samuel, I want to you have a really interesting post that you put up 1 year ago that says a year after Roe v. Wade's fall, many pastors remain silent about the evil of abortion, even as confused churchgoers choose, quote, death for children who are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. This must change. Samuel, we're now 2 years post hence. Are your thoughts kind of the same, or what do you think now in retrospect 2 years out from the Dobbs decision?
Well, sadly, the problem is the same. You know, with so many Christians and pro-life individuals were working and praying for decades to see the fall of Roe versus Wade, and we gave thanks to God when we saw the Dobbs decision overturn Roe versus Wade 2 years ago. But that decision didn't end abortion. It just put it back in the hands of the people. And sadly, what we've seen is that every single time abortion has gone directly to the people on a ballot measure, they have chosen death for unborn children rather than choosing life. And what we've seen from a lot of research is that churchgoers, sadly, are part of the problem. Significant portions of churchgoers believe that abortion is morally acceptable, are voting for abortion, and many pastors are silent. So they're people in the pews every Sunday hearing the culture's lies about abortion and then never hearing the truth from their pastor. So they're deceived and becoming complicit in having hands that shed innocent blood, the blood of these precious, innocent children.
Samuel, prior to Roe v. Wade being overturned, the position of the pro-life movement, of course, was that this should be a decision that the states should make individually. We have had that. But now we have senators like Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and Larry Hogan, former governor of Maryland, who is running for senator in Maryland, saying that he supports federal legislation to codify Roe v. Wade. What is the correct position?
You know, I think there's been some confusion on that front. So as people were speaking against Roe versus Wade, that was obviously the judicial invention of a so-called constitutional right to abortion. So I think some people were using this terminology about states' rights because the Supreme Court had come in, invented this fake right to abortion, and imposed abortion on the states. But if you look at the Dobbs decision, it leaves open room for state action and congressional action in simply saying that the people and their elected representatives will now be able to decide on the issue of abortion. And we know that the left is continuing to try to use Congress to push for abortion. You know, they have the so-called Women's Health Protection Act that they have been pushing in Congress to try to essentially reinstitute Roe versus Wade and even make things worse than Roe versus Wade is a matter of federal legislation. And so I think we can't ignore the fact that this is going to remain an issue at both the congressional level and at the state level.
Samuel, it seems that those on the right, those who are the most ardent pro-life legislators and their allies, I feel like we're always on defense on this because in general, it seems like people don't know how to address the situation. Shouldn't we be turning the tables on the left on this? Because those on the right, I mean, I don't know how you become more pro-life. You're pro-life or you're not. So you're against abortion. But those on the left, Samuel, they're the ones who have gone more extreme, right? Because back in the day, Democrats used to repeat the mantra of President Bill Clinton. You know, abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. And now their mantra seems to be abortion on demand, anytime, anywhere. Doesn't matter if the child is 1 second old or, you know, about to be on the operating table, like former Governor Ralph Northam from Virginia horrifically described. So we kind of need to turn the tables on the left on this discussion, don't we?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. And, you know, so many pro-life individuals and politicians are feel like this is such a divisive issue. And so they kind of hide in a corner and are afraid to speak out. But the reality is that science and morality are on the pro-life side. And we need to point out how extreme the other side is. You know, right now in Missouri, there's a push to add a right to abortion to the Missouri state constitution that will allow abortion all the way up until the moment of birth. Mm-hmm. So we are talking about, children who have, their heart has beat for millions of times. They have fingers and toes and can hiccup and yawn and stretch. And we are talking about literally tearing their arms and legs off, letting them bleed to death if we don't crush their skull first in these abortion procedures. Mm-hmm. And that's what the left is supporting. That is what this effort to change the Missouri Constitution would accomplish if it passes. And that's horrific. It's barbaric. And even many who consider themselves pro-choice understandably have reservations when they hear about that type of barbarity that is being pushed against these innocent children, some of whom can suffer the pain of their own dismemberment. And so it's absolutely tragic what's being pushed, and we need to put that truth out to others so that they can understand just how extreme this pro-abortion agenda really is.
Speaking with Samuel Green, President and General Counsel at Reason for Life. Samuel, we talked about this earlier in the show, how the left has been very successful at desensitizing the public to what abortion really is. They've made it successfully to people that it's just a clump of cells, it's not a baby, it's not life. So it's very hard at that stature, at that state, to legislate basically morality in a sense. I think the fight has to be legislation, but also changing hearts and minds. How do we go about doing that, changing the hearts and minds of people to see abortion for what it really is?
It's a challenge, but it's a fight that definitely needs to be undertaken. And just having the conversations with our friends and neighbors, coworkers and classmates, and conversations in person and on social media to help people understand just how incredible the development of children in the womb is. It's beautiful. It's complex. The, you know, heart starts beating on that unborn child before many women even know that they're pregnant. At the very moment of conception, the new DNA of this unique human being has been established, which determines the child's sex and hair color and bone structure, all there at conception. And then there's just a matter of growth. And every time in society, we've taken what we know to be a human biologically and then tried to say, well, there's some groups of humans that we're going to treat as less than, that we're going to be able to deny their rights. We've seen tragedy after tragedy. And right now, that's what we are seeing when it comes to unborn children. And so we need to help people understand that. We need to help them understand how barbaric abortion is. And, you know, for those who belong to churches, they need to go and respectfully ask their pastors to preach the truth on this topic. I think a lot of people assume at their own peril that if someone's a churchgoer, then they are pro-life. But the studies simply do not bear that out. And we know because pastors are being silent on these issues, the pro-abortion lobby is actually trying to target churchgoers specifically, misusing Bible verses and religious terminology to try to make them comfortable with supporting abortion. So I mentioned that abortion's been on the ballot in multiple states. Ohio was the last state to see one of these abortion ballot measures, and sadly they passed it this last November. But there was a video ad running in Ohio featuring a so-called pastor reading the Bible, and you know it shows his finger running over the text of the scripture, and then he uses that to try to argue for this abortion ballot measure.
Wow.
So people in church are being misled, and the exit polling from Ohio suggested that it would not have passed without the support of professing Christians. Sadly, there were enough professing Christians who voted for abortion through all 9 months that it passed in Ohio, and Missouri faces the same risk this year.
Yeah, Samuel, voters need to know the truth about these ballot initiatives, because I know the left has no problem lying to them about them. Samuel D. Green, our guest here this afternoon, President General Counsel at Reason for Life. Samuel, I came across an article that you had published recently, Pastors and the Moral Issue of Our Age. The subtitle here, probably something that makes the left completely lose their minds. If you say you would have preached against slavery, you must preach against abortion. Samuel, what was the argument you were making there in that piece?
So that was an argument to pastors who, again, today are sadly very reluctant to preach about abortion. You know, thankfully there are champions for life, but many others who are scared and they consider it to be a political issue. And so I was pointing out to these pastors, you know, if you had been a pastor in the 1800s and there was going to be a vote on slavery, and you knew that some in your congregation were going to support this because they didn't know the Bible's truths about how we're all created in the image of God, regardless of skin color, and precious in the sight of God, if you knew they were going to become complicit in the sin of slavery, wouldn't you preach a sermon to share the truth? And I think today it's easy for a lot of pastors to say, well, of course I would. But then I challenged them and said, on the issue of our day, which has at least as much scriptural clarity and implications for the human rights of our brethren, why will you not preach today? Because your congregation is going to have to determine whether they're going to become complicit in the evil of abortion, in the evil of killing innocent people or not. And they need you as their shepherd to preach the truth and make sure that they don't travel down this road. And so that's what I was trying to get across. And Reason for Life even has a written sample sermon for pastors in Missouri on our website for free, just to make it easier for pastors to lay this out and help pastors see this is first and foremost a biblical issue. Yes, it's in the political arena, but these are children made in the image of God, by God, and the Bible is very clear about their value and humanity and the duty of Christians to protect and love them as their neighbors.
Samuel, I've asked several men this question who are involved in the pro-life movement. What do you say to pro-choice women who say that abortion is a women's health issue, that men have nothing to do with this, and that you and I and Tim and the rest of the men, we need to just stay in our own lanes? What do you say to those women?
Well, we could probably take up your whole show with this. There's a few things. You know, one is that a human being, when they see another human being being killed or harmed, should act to save that person. They should speak out against human rights abuses, even if they are not individually impacted. And I mean, just to go to another slavery analogy, you know, we wanted everyone to stand up against slavery when it was still a contested issue. And it would have been wrong to say, well, you're not a plantation owner. You don't know how hard it will be to harvest cotton without the help of free labor. So who are you to speak to this? No, they had an obligation. Everyone did, to speak to this issue and stand up for the rights of those with black skin. And now we have a subset of the human population who can't speak at all. And every person, male and female, now, old and young, should be speaking for them and speaking out against this human rights abuse. I'll also mention that the issue of abortion does directly impact males because, for instance, if this measure in Missouri passes, there could be a married couple that had been planning to have children together. They can, you know, the wife can be pregnant. They can post on Facebook the ultrasound image. They can do their gender reveal. They can be all excited. And at 8 months, the wife can decide, you know what? I don't think I'm ready to be a mother. Mm. And she can kill her child, and her husband has no legal ability to protect her child. So this, you know, can impact men directly. But again, that's not a reason to speak out or not. Simply the fact that we're humans, we should be speaking out against human rights abuses.
Amen, brother.
Mm-hmm. Excellent discussion. That's the kind of discussions we should be having about this issue versus the political epithets that get thrown around. Folks, if you want to check out more of what Samuel Green is doing and working on and speaking out on this issue, you can follow him at Pro-Life Samuel on Twitter X, and definitely go visit Reason for Life, F-O-R, reasonforlife.org. Samuel, it was great having you. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely, indeed. There's a guy who knows his stuff on that issue.
He does know his stuff.
It'd be nice if we all talked about it that way. It's hard. It's hard, though.